big part of the church up here. I've known the Mitchell family for so many years. And let me tell you, you're in good hands with these folks up here. They will give you the word of God in truth and power. No ifs, ands, or buts. But you know, it's interesting. I pastored for 32 years, and I knew Pastor Doug and Pastor Christine all those years, well, many of those years anyway. He used to itinerate at first. Mm-hmm. And but you know, it's a funny thing. When you're a pastor, you don't hear your pastor friends preach. Because, you know, you're all in your own respective churches. So the first time I come up, I said, ooh, this guy's good. Amen. But it's so good to be here, and I love to come up here and join in with the worship team. Aren't they something else? You know, I don't know. I was standing over there before at the end, but watching you ladies singing, and oh, my goodness gracious, it was wonderful. And I never heard this lady sing until the first time I came and heard her singing. I said, I didn't know you could sing like that. Glory to God. But it's always an honor to be here. I pastored for 32 years. I know what it means to fill a man's pulpit in his absence. So today we're going to learn how to stand on our heads and pray in tongues. If anybody already knows how to do that, you can lay hands on those. Amen. Let's get into the Word. You ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
I believe somebody today is going to get something from God. I believe that somebody's going to get an expectancy that they didn't have before. Because the God is the God of all things, all expectancies. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your presence in the house. Surely the Lord is in this place today, and we honor you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in me. Give me utterance in the Holy Ghost, and as I speak the word of God today, let it bring life to the hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Let me ask you a serious question. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you don't raise your hand? If you do, I'm going to point you out. By the way, let me ask you a question. Do you like my shoes?
Yeah. They're hot.
I heard there was going to be a bowling tournament or a golf after, so I wore the right shoes for it today. I have two sons that argue over what these shoes really are. But I believe that somebody's going to get something today. Amen. Let me ask you a question, and I know the answer already, but you don't have to raise your hand. I think at one time or another, every one of us had an experience where fear really came hard, where we were very afraid. Let me tell you a story about myself. Brother Adam is here. He's with me for 30 years. He knows all my stories. When I was in the Air Force, I was about 18 years old at the time, down in the state of Texas. And a friend of mine, he was from upstate New York, don't hold that against him. And he said to me, hey, Joe, I got a motorcycle. Want to go for a ride? I said, yeah, that'd be fun. I was 18 years old, you know, and so we get out, we're walking towards his motorcycle. As we're approaching the motorcycle, I said to him, so you rode motorcycles before, right? He said, oh no, man, this is my first time ever. And you know, that's when I should have said, I don't think I'm going to go with you. But no, I was stupid. And I got on the bike with this guy, and he took off down the road like a rocket. It wasn't that big of a bike, but it was fast as can be. And then it started pouring rain. Adam, you know that story. It started pouring rain. He didn't slow down a lick. He just had that thing going, and finally we're passing up cars, and we're cutting a wake in the water on the road. It was a belly washer, they used to call it. And the rain was just torrentially pouring down. He wouldn't slow down. I looked over his shoulder. He was going 95 miles an hour. And I said, oh my God. What this guy is doing. So he knew I looked, so he leaned back and he said to me, I am not making this up. He said to me, man, it's raining so hard I can hardly see where I'm going. I said, this is it. Brother Innes, why did I get on that bike with this guy? I pulled my head behind his back. It wasn't that big of a bike. It was just a little, tiny little leather strap that went over the seat, nothing for my back. And I said, this is it. I'm going to die today. My poor mother. They're going to send me home in a box. Oh, gosh. But I made up my mind that if he didn't get me killed, I'm going to kill him when we stop. And, you know, and he wouldn't slow down. And finally, it stopped raining, and he pulled over on the side, and I jumped off the back of the bike. Now, mind you, I jumped right off the back of the bike, and I was going to attack him, but I stood there and went, I was shaking like a Pentecostal at a revival meeting. And I mean, I was so mad. And he said, oh, I had everything under control. I said, under control? It's a miracle we didn't get killed. He said, Oh, no, I had everything under control. First time he's ever riding with a motorcycle, and I'm stupid enough to go. I said, take me back to the base. Take me back to the base. Get out of there. And you better go slow. So, you know, we all have a story where we were really good. Let me tell you a story, another story. That's a true story. Let me tell you another true story. Years ago, my wife and I were with her cousin and her husband. And, oh, that thing doesn't follow me, does it? As long as you follow me, yeah, right. And we were with her cousin and her husband. And somehow the topic of the flu came up. Yeah, can you see me better now? I see you keep going like that. You see me better now? Anyway.
You can go to here.
I could. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, sir. And we were talking, and anyway, the topic of the flu came up. If anybody had the flu. And last time I had the flu was about in 1975. But this was after that. Just not too long ago, actually. Just maybe about 10 years ago. And so her husband says, yeah, she gets a flu shot every year. And so my wife says, so how's it going? And he says, and she gets the flu every year. So my wife says, you mean to tell me you get a flu shot every year and you get the flu? She says, yeah. Well, why do you get a flu shot? Well, I don't want to get the flu. You don't want to get the flu? Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to get the flu. So my wife says, so you get the flu shot? Yeah. Why? I told you. Because I don't want to, I'm afraid I'm going to get the flu. So finally, the common sense question was given, why do you get a flu shot? Why don't you not get a flu shot since you keep getting a flu shot and you keep getting the flu? She says, I have to get the flu shot. Then why? Well, because I'm afraid I'm going to get the flu. Finally, her husband threw his hands up and he says, I gave up on that conversation with her a long time ago. She was so afraid that she was doing stupid things. You know, that's insanity. Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But you know, the Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear or a spirit of fear, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Aren't you glad you got a sound mind?
Yes.
Somebody said to my wife one time, honey, I said, Kitty, I think you're out of your mind. She said, that's right. I lost my mind and I have the mind of Christ now.
Amen.
And you have the mind of Christ. You're not crazy. You're not crazy believing all this stuff. Because this God business works. God is not a man that he should lie. And I say, but what is fear? Really, fear is a spiritual force that will immobilize you. And the devil is very crafty. He knows how to implant fear. A lot of you were saying here before, Pastor Christine, that it gets into your head and then you can't let it take up residence. You know? I remember my mother, we went to visit my mother, and she had a little sign. She pinned something on her blouse. She was listening to Brother Hagin on the radio. Say Faith Seminar the air. My mother was listening to that. We got a little sign and it said, hands off. That means you, devil. God's property. You know, hands off. That means you, devil. And I said, Mom, what is that? Well, I heard Brother Hagin say that. So I wrote it down and I pinned it to me because he's trying to make me sick and I'm telling him, hands off. You can't do that to me. She lived to be 96.
Amen.
Died of old age. Amen. He was old. Joe, I'm sorry. How'd your mother die? She got old. She got old. And you know, and when we see that, well, let's look at Isaiah 54 and in verse number 14. It says, I'm in the New King James, by the way, if you're following along with your Bible. It says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You read Psalm 91, it's all over the place in there about what we have. Amen.
Yep.
And you know, so. You know, fear is a spiritual force. But according to the Word of God, it should not affect us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, what is faith? Faith, according to Hebrews 11, says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're not all from Missouri here. You folks live in New York State. You're not from Missouri. You don't have to see to believe. You can hear the Word and believe. Because that's what the Word says. It says that faith comes by what? Hearing. I developed a new thing, Pastor Christine. I've been enjoying this a lot lately. At least a couple of times a week, I just sit back and I let the Bible talk to me. I do the audio thing on here. And I just pray in the Spirit while it's talking. And every time I hear something that goes off of me, I stop it. And I pray about that and I meditate on that. Amen. And, you know, you ought to try it sometimes. It's good. Because faith comes by hearing. Sometimes I'm listening to it, I'm praying in the Spirit, or I'm reading along with it out loud. You got to hear it. Amen. That's where I'm going with this. My message title today is Faith, Not Fear. Expand your expectancy. Whatever it is you've been believing for, I'm going to believe God with you today that you're going to expand your expectancy, and then you'll believe bigger and you'll receive quicker. Can you say amen to that? But you know what is, you know what is fear? It's the substance of things not desired. It brings you negative thoughts. You'll never make it. So you were saying, well, I'm going to go broke. I don't have food. I don't have this. You know, the devil is a liar. I like when he talks to me because I just think it the opposite way, because I say he's a liar. He's incapable of telling me the truth. Hello? So he tells you, you know, you're a failure. No, I'm a victor. According to the word of God, I've been made more than conquerors. Amen. I'm a winner. And so we see here that there is a difference. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. And verse number 3, I'm going to lead a reader right off the wall here. That's so convenient. Romans 12:3. For I'm in the New King James. Thank you. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to each one a measure of faith. God's given you what you need to be an overcomer. He's given you a measure of what you do with it is up to you. Exceeding grace, you can make it grow. Increasing faith, you can make it grow. How do you make it grow? We're going to get to that in today's message. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. And here we read, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. My wife used to say, when the devil comes along and something bad happens, what you say and do in the first 3 to 5 seconds makes all the difference on how it's going to turn out at the end. You get a negative thought. It's important to immediately speak contrary to a negative report. Immediately. Don't waste it. Don't say, well, I'll get around to it when I pray later. No! Rebuke it immediately. I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I have a spirit of faith in me, just like God. God gave me a spirit of faith. I'm an overcomer. You need to talk to that devil. He can hear you. He might want you to think he doesn't hear you, but he hears you. I want to talk. We're not going to go there. I'm going to paraphrase and I'm going to narrate Mark chapter number 5. It's a very interesting chapter in the Word of God. We're going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at Jairus. I'm going to look at the woman with the issue of blood. You know, we always say that, well, we know from the Word of God that Nicodemus, who Jesus went to at night, that he was secretly, he followed Jesus. Then there's Joseph of Arimathea. When Jesus was crucified, he surrendered his grave site so they could bury Jesus. Him too. He was a follower. But Jairus is in the mix. And his name often gets lost in the mix. Let's talk about that. Jesus is on his way and he's walking in. Jairus, who is a ruler in the synagogue, he's not just a Pharisee, he's a ruler in the synagogue. And he comes to Jesus, and the Word of God says he bowed down to Jesus. The man lost all sense of wanting to maintain an image in front of everybody, because the Pharisees in those days, the religious leaders, they were revered among the people. When they walked down the street, people stopped, they got out of the way, they bowed their heads, all that kind of thing. But he didn't care because his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, was sick and she was dying. And he comes to Jesus and openly in front of everybody, he bows down to Jesus. You know he believed. You know he believed. So, you know, he comes to Jesus and says, my little daughter, she's 12 years old, she's lying at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she will live and not die. And Jesus said, I'll go with you. And away they went. Jesus didn't stop and say, well, now this guy's a religious thing. You know, these other Pharisees don't like me. I don't know about this. No, he went with them. Why? Because the Word of God says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. What about doing good, healing all? How many?
All.
You didn't all say it. How many?
All.
I don't hear you.
All.
Any veterans in here? Sergeant will say, I don't hear. I can't hear you. He healed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who were not doing good, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Yes.
And so he's going with Jairus. And they're on their way. The Gussie J. Iris' little 12-year-old daughter is very sick, and she's at the point of death. She's dying. And as they're going, here comes a woman with the issue of blood. Mm-hmm. The Bible says as she came, she had heard of Jesus. She came and she pressed in the crowd, thinking, if I could just touch his clothes, I know we'll be made whole. I don't want any attention from him. Now, the Bible says that she had this condition for 12 years, similarly, this young girl that was dying was 12 years old. And, you know, here she is, and the Bible says that she spent everything she had with physicians and didn't get any better, but rather she got worse. So she's at the end of the rope, man. If God don't come through now, I'm dead. And she comes pressing in. Plus, she's not supposed to be out in public. She's not supposed to be out in public. Because if she's out in public, she's supposed to be announcing, unclean, unclean. Everybody gets out of the way. No, but she came through the crowd. She pressed in through the crowd, the Bible says. She must have been bumping up against people. She threw all that nonsense to the wind, man. As far as she's concerned, Jesus is coming, and if I could just touch his clothes, just the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I just know I'll be healed. And we know what happens with that. You know the story here. She gets to Jesus, she touches his clothes, and Jesus stops. He said, who touched me? Oh. His disciples said, Lord, you see the crowd, they're thronging you, they're bumping all over the place. You know, it's like being in New York City subway at rush hour. You don't need a handle to hold onto that subway. It's so crowded, you're not going to fall. Just stand there. Yeah. You're packed in like sardines. And, you know, he says, who touched me? He said, Lord, yeah. Well, what do you mean? I felt virtue. I felt power go out of me. Right. And he looks and he sees the woman and she comes falling and trembling because she knew that when she touched, she got healed. She knew it. She said the word ginoso. It's a perception based on an experience, as the word goes. She knew that something happened. You ever have something happen and you just know it? I'm going to get to some things here a little bit. She just knew. So Jesus looks and he sees her. She comes falling again, falling down, and tells him everything. Now don't shout me down, ladies. She talked. And talked. And talked. I know, don't shout me down on this, but have you ever asked a Jewish person, so how you doing? They tell you all the details. She told him everything. She talked so long that Jairus' daughter died. We don't know how long she talked, but the Bible says she told him everything. She had 12 years worth of a horror story with this blood condition, and she poured her heart out to Jesus. She poured out her heart to Jesus, and Jesus just standing there listening to her. Well, Jairus' daughter died, because now all of a sudden one of the people from Jairus' house come, and as she is talking to him and telling him all of this, Jesus hears the servants tell Jairus, don't bother the master anymore, your daughter is dead. The Bible says immediately Jesus turned around. So that means as Jesus was hearing, as he was hearing those words, he immediately turned to Jairus. He said, don't fear, only believe. Yeah. Actually, that no, don't fear, it comes from the Greek word mephobo. I'll spell that for you. mephobou. In the Greek, you see that verse number 36, this thing is all talked about it right there. Yeah. In verse 36 of Mark chapter 5. It's not a suggestion. And the writers, they translate it as it was a command. It was a command, right, Pastor Christine? You know that. Yeah. Right, you folks, you know that. It was as a command, almost as a military command. Right. You do what they tell you. I remember being in the Air Force. I was stationed on the island of Guam. And while we were there, we went there in the spring of 1965. We were the first B-52s. I was a mechanic on B-52s, ground crew. And we were bombing Vietnam. And the airplanes were taxiing out one night in the monsoon rain. Again, there's that rain again. And one of the bombs out on the wing falls off, and it lands on the taxiway. And so the airplane keeps going, but the airplane's behind it. They stopped, and they called in. There's a bomb laying on the ramp. So our team chief sergeant comes by, a master sergeant. He's an E7. I was an E3. And he gathers up me and some other guy. Hey, get in the truck, quick, we got an emergency. We jump in the truck, you know, what's going on, Sergeant? I don't know, we're going out there, they're going to call me and tell me where to go, blah, 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 blah. And we get out there, we see this bomb laying on the ramp. And it's got a little propeller on the front, and the wire thing came out, and the little propeller spinning on the detonator. The bomb is armed. Don't touch it. It's armed. So the sergeant says, you guys get out there and grab that thing by the tail and drag it off the taxiway. We said, hey, Sergeant, that thing, it's armed. The propeller's spinning. It's armed. If we try to move it, it'll go. I said, get out there and move that thing. So we got out of the truck, and at first we didn't want to go. And he executed the rank on us. You know, I gave you an order. Get out there and move that thing. So we get out. We're walking slow, and he's in the truck yelling, hurry up! I mean, well, look, this thing, it could go off. So one guy says, what do you mean it could go off? It will go off. So fortunately, the munitions maintenance squadron pulls up, and they say, what do you guys think you do? We're going to drag this off the top. What are you, stupid? That thing will go off. Well, the sergeant said, well, then he's stupid, too. So they disarmed it, then they moved the bomb away. You do what you're told. It's given like a command. So Jesus turned to Jairus, and He said, don't fear, only believe. And how many times do you know that when something bad is going on in your life, fear wants to come in?
Yes.
It wants to paint a negative picture. It wants to give you the worst possible scenario on this whole thing. So you know how the story goes. They go to Jairus' house. The girl is dead. And all the professional mourners are out there. Yeah, they were professional mourners, because when Jesus says she's not dead, she's always sleeping. They went from mourning and screaming and crying to laughing. They laughed at him. Bible says, King James, they laughed him to scorn. So what did Jesus do? He threw them all out. Threw them out. And just took Peter, James, and John and the parents. And they went in and he raised them from the dead. The lesson to learn in that is when you got something going on, you talk to faith people about it. Amen. You talk to people that you know that they believe like you. Don't just tell them because they're your friend. You want people in faith with you, in agreement on things like that. Now, it's an interesting thing. Both Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood exhibited the same trait. They heard, they believed, they spoke, and they acted. Both of them. Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue. The woman is this woman that's been sick for 12 years. You know, emotionally she's destroyed. Mentally she's worn out. But she said Jesus is coming. And that changed the whole picture. See, when we know that we've got God on our side, that changes the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You hear me? It changes the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so both Jairus, I call him like an unsung hero. He's not mentioned in the Bible other than this one place here. But they both, they believed, they heard, they believed, they spoke, and then they acted. They both did the same thing. They came to Jesus. They threw caution to the wind. They didn't care what anybody thought. They were going to go to him because they knew he had the answers. God is the one that has the answers for us in every situation. I make no bones about what I'm going to say right now, and it's not an insulting thing, not at all. I lost my wife 2.5 years ago, and I refused to let grief take over my life. Right, Pastor Christine?
That's true, Pastor.
I refused.
That's true.
I miss her every day.
Yes, you do.
I love her every bit as much now or more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I know where she is because we have the faith of God in us. And I refuse. I pointed up to God after the funeral. Pastor, you know, I told you, I pointed up at God in my house. I was crying. And I said, Father, I will never, never imply you let me down or you said no. I will never, and I don't. I don't know everything. You don't know everything, but God knows everything. And we put our trust in him. Remember Mel Piper? Did you have Mel Piper there when you were there? His famous saying was, right, Adam? What did Mel Piper used to say? All right, stay on God's side. Whenever he talked about something difficult, he said, now stay on God's side. He was a teacher down there at Raymond. So, let's move on a little bit more. Let's look at somebody else. Let's go over to 2 Kings 19. And I'm going to talk a little bit first about, did I say 2 Kings? I meant 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19. Now in chapter 18, there's all this to do with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And a big controversy with them. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, boys, let Elijah's by himself. Well, he has Elisha with him at that point right there. But he challenges them. He said, well, I'll tell you what, boys, I'm going to narrate it and paraphrase the whole thing on that. He says, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out whose God is the real God. He says, let's get two bullets here. You take one, I'll take the other one. Let's cut it up and prepare it. And let's put it out there as an offering and put it out on the wood, on the altar and on the wood. And we'll call down fire from heaven. And whoever answers, that's the Lord. So they did theirs, you know, and from early morning until noon, they did everything they could possibly do. They jumped around, they hollered, they screamed, and then they continued on in the afternoon, all the way till late in the day, and they did all what they thought they should do, and nothing happened. So Elijah got a little cocky with them. He says, well, maybe your God is sleeping. King James says, maybe he's pursuing you, implying maybe your God went to the bathroom. Maybe he's sleeping. And Elijah's getting a big kick out of this. Why? Elijah knows God. And these guys, they're jumping around, and finally they were exhausted. He says, all right, I'll tell you what, since nothing came down, it's all right, here's what we're going to do. And he dug a trench all the way around the whole altar, and he had the stones were there, and he had the wood on there, and he put the bullock parts on there, and he said, all right, let's get some water on this thing. And they poured all this water on it. He said, no, do it again. We only want to get this plenty wet. They did it again. They did it a third time. And now all the gully that he dug was full of water. So he, you know what happened on that. You know the story. He calls down fire from heaven, and fire comes down. Boy, and it just licks up everything. Even the rocks, the offering, the wood, the rocks, the water. There's nothing left. And then Elijah does the unthinkable. He takes the 450 prophets. He takes them out to the brook. And he kills them all. Well, word gets back to Ahab. The worst king Israel ever had. And his equally worst wife, Jezebel. I've never met anyone named Jezebel, have you? I don't think anyone has ever named their kid Jezebel. I mean, she's a one-time shot. You know, and the Italians have a thing about a woman that's not good. They go, ah, she's a Jezebel. Well, we'll leave that out today, right? Are you ready, sir? And Jezebel gets wind of what he did, and Jezebel says, I'm going to send him a letter. I've about had it with this guy. First he brings a drought, you know, and he challenges my husband, he challenges us, send him a note. I'm going to kill him. His hide is mine, basically. She tells him. Let's pick up at chapter number 19 now. We'll start at verse number 1. We're going to read right on down to verse 13. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent messengers to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Well, she's boasting herself strong, isn't she? And when he saw that, he said, I dare you. You come on out here. I'll face you. No, that's not what he did. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Her words were so powerful. See, she was evil. You know, and today they call the thing a Jezebel spirit. It's not necessarily associated female or male, but it's a spirit of manipulation and control and great power. It's a very strong spirit. It brings fear to people as well. And that's what they call it, a Jezebel spirit. Let's read this thing now. And when, verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. He left Elisha behind. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. And as he lay there and he slept under a broom, then suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. God sent an angel to bring him something to eat. And he looked there, and by his head there was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. He's depressed. Depressed people sleep a lot. He lay down and he went to sleep again. An angel came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountains of... He went 40 days and 40 nights because of what? Fear. You know, I tell you, you know, people have questioned this whole thing. You know, just because you had a great victory doesn't mean that you're on top of the mountain. Doesn't mean that at all. The devil just found another way around. The devil knew what he was doing. He used that Jezebel spirit that was in Jezebel, and it totally broke him down. I've seen many a Christian, solid in the Lord, falter in that area. Why? Because the devil is very crafty. The Bible says in Genesis, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. The devil knows how to get to you. He'll use a different methodology. That's why we're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Know that he is a liar, the father of lies. He comes to manipulate and control. And when we start feeling that tinge of fear, it's time to rise up on that. And so it went on out. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. I'm in verse number 9. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for all the children of Israel have forsaken you, your covenant torn down, your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on a mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains, and it broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the fire, a still small voice. Hello. Yes. Pastor Christine was talking about that before, about hearing from God. I was listening to you, and I said, wow, she's right on point with that. That still small voice of God. I have always said this, one word from God can change all your tomorrows. All your tomorrows. All your tomorrows, because His word is anointed. And when He speaks something to you. Now Elijah, let's give him a break a little bit here. He fell victim to something very strong, but he was a man of God. He knew God. He didn't backslide, he just ran for his life. He was afraid he was going to get killed. But God, listen. At his state, and sometimes we get that way, we feel really down, everything is going wrong. God did not leave you. God's still talking. God still wants to say something to you. Just because you're not hearing it doesn't mean God's not speaking. It's just that you're not hearing it because God is speaking. I've discovered some things in the last 2.5 years. The voice of God more and more and more and more and more and more. I tell you all that sometimes, Pastor Christine. It's amazing. God rises up. Whatever the circumstance that comes your way, God is always bigger. He always has the answer. You have to learn to hear. And so it's. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" I'm just going to stop right there because after that, the Spirit of God tells Elijah, "Go back. Go on back. What are you doing out here? Go on back." See, the thing about it is this. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're thinking, God's got something to tell you. We need to learn how to cooperate with God. We need to learn how to listen. He's always talking. God's got a lot to say. He doesn't go to sleep. And He knows what's going on in you before others will ever suspect anything is going on in you. And He wants to give you the answers that you need. And I discovered some things in the Lord that when He gives comfort, strength comes with it. Great comfort of God. God is a great God of all comfort. Let's stop right there. The still small voice, real. Let me just say this. The still small voice, you could be at Yankee Stadium or whatever stadium you're at, and your team of choice could win the World Series. And everybody's cheering and screaming, and it's so loud. But you can still hear the still small voice. God does not need you to be in a quiet place. You can hear Him in spite of where you are and what you're going through. It's that still small voice that's down on the inside because the Holy Spirit is in us. Now see, Elijah was a prophet. The Holy Ghost came on him as needed. We have the Holy Spirit in us all the time. 24/7. Let me talk about something. In April of April of 21. I was here. It was a Sunday. I played saxophone. Love to play with these guys. Aren't they something else? Yeah, these guys are great, man. And I came in, then Pastor Doug and I went out, we had a little bite to eat. And I was driving home in the car, and I felt a little headachy. You know, and I thought, maybe they put MSG in the food, you know. So, you know, the next day the headache was still there, it was a little bit stronger. And so I texted Pastor Doug. I said, hey, how do you feel today? I'm kind of headachy today. He said, well, I thought, I'm fine. Well, I had COVID. I didn't know it yet. Started with a headache. And now that's Monday when I contacted him. The very next day, Tuesday, which was April 13th, I spoke at a Women's Globe, gave my testimony. Man, I felt terrible that day, but I had a commitment, I went and I did it, and these nice ladies, they took me out to lunch. I couldn't even eat. I ordered a salad, and I couldn't even eat it. By Friday morning, man, I was full-blown with COVID. Holy cow, holy cow. I mean, I had a headache, I had a fever, I was coughing, I had aches and pains. I mean, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep because then I'd wake up because I couldn't breathe. And I had all these symptoms raging in me. I knew it was COVID. I Googled and it told me that I had all the symptoms. Google knows everything, right? I Googled it. The only thing I don't know if I lost my sense of smell or taste because I didn't eat anything all week. I didn't even make coffee. So there was nothing to smell as far as cooking or coffee. Not even coffee. And I got this fever that's up there like 102, and I'm sitting in my house, and I come downstairs, and I got my robe on, and sign up pajamas, and I got woolly socks on, and my slippers, and I got the chills, and I'm sitting there in front of the Weather Channel, and the guy is talking, all I hear is wah 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 wah. I don't know what he's saying. I'm just sitting there, and I'm just watching this, and you know, and I'm sitting there like this. And I thought, maybe I should go get tested. And I got a still small voice spoke to me and said, don't do it. Are you hearing me? That's why I kind of relate to Elijah here. Man, I was feeling down. I was beat physically, mentally. I mean, I hadn't slept almost all week. So a second time I thought, I don't know, maybe I should go get tested. Yeah, no, don't do it. Then I thought of the third time. Again, don't do it. I said, all right, Lord, I know that's you. I'm sorry. I knew that was you the first time. I don't feel good. You know that. And so that was it, you know. I just had that, all right. I said, all right, Father, you got another idea. Okay. All right. I won't go get tested. So I'm just sitting there. I don't know what to do. I'm just sitting there and going, wah, 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 this guy on the TV. You know. I hear the still small voice again. Says, go on Facebook. I don't want to go on Facebook. I haven't been on there all week. I'm on Facebook. But I knew it was the Lord. So I go on Facebook, and anybody know who Lance Wallnau is? Yeah, you know who he is? Yeah. Lance Wallnau, it said Lance Wallnau is live now. So I said, all right, I go on. Him and his wife were on there, his wife Annabelle. They're talking about a house that they bought years ago that needed a ton of work. They didn't talk about God. They weren't talking about prophecy. They weren't talking about government. They weren't talking about politicians. They're talking about this house, and I'm sitting there watching this. I said, well, why am I watching this? Talking about the roof that leaked and this. What is this? You want me to watch this? And all of a sudden, Lance says, we're about out of time now. He only went about 12, 13 minutes, 14 minutes. So, well, we're about out of time here right now, but I just really feel I need to pray, because I know there's some people out there that don't feel good right now. And when he said that, I said out loud, this is for me. I knew what was coming. He prayed a prayer of faith for healing. I didn't have to send him $1,000. You know, I didn't have to send money or pledge anything. No, nothing. And he said, I'm going to pray because we know God's our healer, and if you're not feeling good, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you when I get through. And I'm sitting there saying, yes, amen. And every time he said, he's quoting scripture, I'm saying, amen, amen, amen. He gets to quoting all the scriptures that we know about healing, and then he says, well, I pray that for all of you out there watching, if you're not feeling good, I pray you are healed In the name of Jesus. Goodbye, everybody. I'll see you Monday. And I was totally you. I'm sitting there and I said, ooh, the headache is gone. Oh my gosh, I don't have a headache. I don't have chills. Oh, I could breathe. I realized I'm healed. I said, thank you, Father. Wow, you are good. All right, now, that's one. So oftentimes we think that when someone prays for us, we should be healed immediately. I agree, because I've seen it happen many, many times. What happens if you don't? Remember Jesus with the 10 lepers? He said, go on, guys, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they realized that we healed. One came back and worshipped him. As they went. A number of years ago, I've got to move this thing back. Can I move this back? A number of years ago, Brother Adam remembers this. I was pastoring, and all of a sudden I came down with what they called hemolytic anemia. My blood count dropped way down to like 5.9. Should have been at least 12. I didn't know what was going on. So anyway, I ended up in the hospital, and they told me what I had. And the doctor told me, you have hemolytic anemia. I said, what does that mean? He said, it's a blood condition where your blood count is down. And I said, okay, medically, what do you do? He says, well, it's incurable but treatable. And as soon as he said that, I said, we'll see about that. And he said, and he kept talking. He said, what was that? I said, we'll see about that. He said, no, you don't understand. This is incurable. I said, no, you don't understand. I know how to pray. He said, oh. You know, they give you the, oh, you're one of them. Right? And so they kept me in the hospital. I had to get 3 units of blood. You know, and inside of 15 minutes there, I felt wonderful. I said, hey, I feel real good. I want to go home. And the nurse said to me, that's because you just had 100 milligrams of prednisone. You better feel good. I said, whoa, it's a steroid. I said, yeah, I feel real good. James Brown, I feel good. Now, here's where you cooperate with God. Are you listening to me now? You got to cooperate with God. If you don't get healed right away, you got to cooperate with God. Now you have to hear, believe, speak, and act. Every month I had to go in, they check my blood, and they would adjust my medication as needed. The doctor said, you'll be on this medication for the rest of your life. I said, no, I won't. So anyway, I had a faith confession. I said, I have good blood. I have healthy blood. I have lots of blood. And I'm washed in the blood. And by his stripes, I am healed. I said that every day, as many times as I wanted to. Don't look at me like that. I'm not crazy. I must have said that at times, I don't know how many times a day. Every time I thought about it, I'd say, I have good blood, I have healthy blood, I have lots of blood, I'm full of blood, and I'm washing the blood, because by his stripes I am healed. And I kept doing it over and over and over again. Every day, 24/7, for 5 years. That's faith. It's one thing like Lance prays and I get healed. What happens if someone prayed and you don't get healed? Now, remember, you're in partnership with God. You are co-laborers together with God. Am I right or wrong? Right. Is that what the word says? Here's where you expand your expectancy. I need a volunteer. Adam, I volunteer you.
Say yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, Adam. Take that rubber band. Hold it nice and tight. No. Nice and tight. All right. Okay. That's your faith. And every time you quote the word of God or a confession of faith, you stretch it. You're expanding your expectancy. Okay. Time goes by, nothing's happening, but you're still quoting the word. You're expanding your expectancy. You see that? Okay. You're aligned with God. More time goes by. You're still dealing with it. But you got your confession of faith going. You're quoting the Word. The Word works. God looks over His Word to perform it. God delights in us doing this. All right, you're going a little bit further. Remember now, this went 5 years. Multiple times a day. I'm expanding my expectancy. I'm not letting go. The promises of God started out down there, and I'm just building on it. I'm hanging on to it. I'm not going to let it go. Doesn't matter how I feel. Remember an old song? Oh, I better not. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. You believe that?
I'm dying.
Doesn't matter what's going on. You got the Lord in your life. More time goes by. You're still not feeling good. I got the joy of the Lord. I do. I'm not moved by what has happened in my life. I'm only moved by God. Expanding your expectancy. And this went on for 5 years of going in to see that doctor. Thank you, Harry. 5 years goes by, and I'm feeling good. My blood is good. I'm not on any steroids. I'm feeling good. 2 more years goes by. I'm still going in every week. They're checking my blood. My blood count is 15.3, 16 point this. You know, my blood count is up there for the next 2 years. And finally, the doctor comes in to see me. And he closes the door. He looks at me. He says, I have to talk to you. I said, yeah, I knew where he was going. He said, I'm not supposed to say these kinds of things on what your condition was, but you're well. I said, yeah, I know that, and you know it. He says, yeah, I know you know it, and I know I know it. He said, I remember I doubted you when you said to me that first time, when I told you what was wrong. He said, we'll see about that. I'm going to tell you what that did to this man. He said, I watched your faith these last, in particular, 5 years. And I checked with my nurses. They said, the man is up-tempo on this thing. He's claiming that he's well, and he's not. I said, but then all of a sudden, the condition was gone. 2 more years come by, you know you're well. I said, yeah, I know. I said, but you know what I learned from you now? Listen, your faith can get on other people. He said, you know what I learned from you? He said, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I pray for my patients every day before I come in the office that God will help me to make them get well. He says, because I remember what you told me. I said, yeah, I know what I told you. I told you that to be a doctor is a divine call. You and God are in the healing business. He does it through you. God does it supernaturally. He said, you're well. There's nothing wrong with your blood. I've checked. We checked your blood for everything that was in there that told you you had hemolytic anemia. It's gone. And it never came back. Never came back. So what I'm saying is, whether you get what you need from God immediately or not, you put your petition into God, it's going to come through. Why He does it instantly one time and now, I don't know. I don't have that answer. But one thing I do know is, keep your trust in God. If God's Word says it, it's settled. I want to ask you today, I'm going to cut this short now. Anybody here, you want prayer if you're not feeling well? I want to pray for you. Anybody, you want hands laid on you, please come up. Don't hesitate. There we go, there's one. Anybody else, don't hesitate, don't be embarrassed. Brother Adam, you're going to help me with this. Thank you. Now we're going to do something. Come on up here, honey. What's your name?
Sonia.
Okay, everybody, you get in agreement with me now. Remember something I said earlier? Talk to people who believe like you. We all believe the same here, don't we? Stretch your hands out this way. What's going on with you, Sonia? What do you need prayer for? Diabetes. And what else?
Fibromyalgia.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak the word of God that fibromyalgia, diabetes has to leave Sonia's body now. In the name of Jesus, I pray the anointing of God to flow through your body, through every fiber, every being, through her blood, through her bones, through her inward parts, in every part of her, Father God, her kidneys and every internal organ, everything be made whole in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against Sonia shall prosper. And by the stripes of Jesus, Sonia is healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're going to have a good report on this, my sister. You're in. All right, you're in. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? You want prayer this morning? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. You're a wonderful bunch of people to talk to. I love coming to Westchester Family Church. Thanks, Adam, for helping me out with that. We know that she's healed.
Yes, amen.
We know she is. We know she is. Whether it be instant right now, on your way home, or you wake up tomorrow morning feeling well, whatever it will be. But the important thing is that you say, God is my healer. And we have the same spirit of faith in us from God. Can you say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
Father, I pray right now for everybody here. If there be anyone here today that does not know Jesus, Father, let them speak to someone in leadership here before they go home today. We don't want anyone to leave here not being a child of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Let's take this.